You're listening to the Support Ops Hangout, episode 41.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly discussion that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. And before we get too far into the show, let's go ahead and point out again, you can send us an email about what topics you'd like us to hear us talk about. I'm going to try that again. You would think as much as I talk to customers every day, I would have control over my words, but I guess that's all like via email. So you can send us a message about any future show topic you want us to talk about, any questions you want us to tackle, any advice you want us to give, anything like that. Send us a message, supportops.co/ask. ASK is the URL that you want. This week, Chase Livingston is back from his wandering in the wilderness, being out in the field, whatever it was. And I say that in jest. It was actually, he was doing some really good charity work that Jeff and I could probably take a lesson from and do. So, Chase, how are you?
I'm good. I'm back from Nicaragua doing some building construction projects and humanitarian type stuff. So it's good to be back.
I spent my week buying a new grill and trying it out. So
good enough.
At least
good
you're
enough.
Doing good stuff. And like as always, we've got Jeff Vincent, who is looking just fabulous today. How are you?
I'm good, Chase. I'm good. The sun's out, and glad to have daylight savings time on my side for a chance or for a change.
See, that's the thing. Like daylight savings time, if this is when daylight savings time is in effect, right?
Not a clue.
Yeah. Not, see, either. It's either on or off, and I never understand when it's on and when it's off.
It
but
feels like whatever. We're saving daylight, being that I have more daylight right now, so I'll go with it's on.
Sounds good. So whatever's happening right now, this needs to be the setting all year round.
Agreed.
Yep.
Just saying. So this week we are joining our friends over at Freshdesk and talking about their CEO on support campaign, just kind of what we think about CEOs being on support, you know, those, and I say CEOs, but you know, anybody really on your team doing support. So that's what we're going to be talking about. They kicked off Freshdesk kicked off their CEO on support campaign last week, I think last Wednesday or last Thursday or so. Basically, the idea is that it gives CEOs an opportunity to discover great ways to improve their product, to improve the business, to learn more about their customers, and that all happens by the CEOs actually talking to their customers. You know, you can't really figure out what your customers are all about if you're not actually talking to them. So we're going to do the show on that. Also, be sure to check out CEOonsupport.com. That's the website for the big campaign that Freshdesk is doing, and it's got some great resources there. So let's go ahead and dive in with Chase Livingston to start with. Now, Chase, I think Matt from Automatic, your CEO, does support, right?
Correct, yep.
How often does he show up in the support world to help you out?
I think at least he tries to do it every few months, you know, depending on his schedule and his speaking gigs and stuff like that. It may, you know, be a little longer than that, but we at least try to get him and also everybody in the company, honestly, through support at least once a year, if not once, you know, every few months for a week or maybe 2 weeks at a time.
What about you, Jeff? When it comes to Wistia, is anybody besides the support team chipping in with support and doing things like that? Is your CEO working on support?
Yep. So we practice all-hand support, and that means that every week two or three people, I guess it depends on the week, spend a morning fully in support. And so every, you know, maybe like 3 months or so, you sign up for a, I guess it's like a Tuesday or Thursday. And then when it's your turn, you sort of jump in there, get assigned some tickets, or depending on your experience level, maybe you tackle some of your own. And the goal is to keep the connection with the customer really strong, sort of keep the customer's voice in the back of your head no matter where in the company you are, and also bring some like fresh eyes to those types of problems that everybody in support knows that they exist. But no matter how many times they bring them up, they can't quite convince other people that it's a major problem.
So, Jeff, a lot of times when the all-hand support, the CEO on support phrases get thrown around, it's usually smaller, like startups or, you know,
Even when we're talking about automatic's big, but not like gigantic big. Do you think it's a good thing for these CEOs to be on support when they're in charge of just massive companies like Amazon or Ford or McDonald's or something like that?
I love the idea of a major corporation CEO participating in support, because I think that that just shows, it reminds us who keeps the lights on and who pays the bills and who, you know, in the end means that we have a business, which is our customer. I think that there are more efficient ways to loop more people in, right? I think participating in support is important so that they understand to what extent the process is terrible for support people, right? There was something I was reading recently where everybody kept saying that the hotel front desk person, right, like basically their version of a support person, they kept churning through employees and that those employees were lazy. But when somebody actually went down to try and – when the general manager tried to actually be the front desk employee, he realized that their job is like the worst job, you know, that they're coordinating between the general manager and their expectations and also like the back of house, right, like the people who clean the rooms and stuff, who were causing all sorts of problems. So I guess what I'm getting at is it may be really valuable for a CEO to sit down and say, okay, this person wrote – an email, how do I go about tracking down their account? And somebody's like, oh, well, there's a 10-step process to do that. And he's like, what? How do you guys get anything done? Like, we have to come up with a better tool for doing this. I think that in many companies, that is really important. But in terms of connection with the customer, understanding the customer's problems, I think that there are more efficient ways to get everybody on the team looped in.
Yeah, that's one of those where we'll kind of tangent off for a little bit. When we talk about CEOs on support, it doesn't have to be just your CEO doing email support, doing live chat, or anything like that. You know, you're talking about the hotel chain where the guy was working the front desk. I was watching a show the other night, Bar Rescue on Spike. I think it's on Spike. I forget. But anyways, it's great because it's kind of your typical like restaurant makeover kind of thing, right? Like John Taffer, the guy comes in and you've got a horrible bar and he's going to rescue it. He's going to make it a lot better. And the one they had on last night, the owner was kind of this guy who had made his money, so now he was retired doing weird, crazy vacations and safaris and things like that, not realizing that his bar employees didn't even have access to go out and buy like lemons, right? Like a basic... A lemon is like a basic staple that you need to have in a bar for most of your drinks. It's one of the like most frequent garnishes ever. And it wasn't until, you know, the show comes in and drags him in along with it and points out, look, you know, you, because you're not here, because you have no idea what's going on with your customers, you don't even realize, like, they don't even have basic stuff like lemons, which was crazy. I mean, the idea that you can own this business and not know something as simple as that, or that you own this business and not realize there's this 10-step process you have to do to just look up an account, that's the kind of valuable things that CEOs are gonna get when they do support. So Chase, when it comes to, you know, you mentioned that that Matt does live chat every time that you mentioned that he does support. And we talked about this before the show, which was where my question was coming from. Is there any like kid gloves with him? Is there any like, oh, you're just going to do like the easy ones? We're going to keep you away from like the hard, like live chat tough stuff?
Nope. He's in there just like any other operator. And with live chat, obviously we don't field those questions too much. So you basically just get whatever chat comes in at that particular time. And we really didn't even do a whole lot of like training on the tool we use or anything beforehand. He just kind of jumped in and went for it and did a great job with it. So, no, there's no, kid gloves, as you say, or as you would say, for the CEO or anybody else who may want to try live chat out during their rotation and support.
How often, because, you know, you guys are like Basecamp and Wistia, you know, we all do this all-hands support kind of model. How often does Matt and some of the other people from your team get a chance to work on support? Like, is there – we talked a little bit about with Matt earlier, like he gets a week every now and then when he can. Or how often does it happen with, like, other people? Is there a schedule or anything like that?
Yeah, we try to have that happen at least once a year or so with each team. Some teams do it more often, but at the very least, once a year for usually a week at a time, maybe 2 weeks at a time, depending on the team. So that's the baseline that we shoot for.
And I was reading, I think it was, I forget where the article was. I'll find it and link to it in the show notes. But the guy was talking about his trial at Automatic before getting hired on. And he was talking about how everybody goes through support with their trial. Mm-hmm. So it kind of feels like Automatic just pushes support into pretty much every area of the company.
Yeah, so when no matter what position you're trialing for, obviously if you're trialing for a support position, you're going to do support during your trial. But if you're, you know, looking at a developer position, you may work on a development project for your trial. But then once you're actually hired on, you'll spend your first 3 to 4 weeks working full time for Automatic, working in support, just like a happiness engineer. So everybody that starts at the company does an initial support rotation, and then they'll rotate back through, you know, with their team, hopefully at least once a year, maybe more than that.
So once a year or so for you guys. Basecamp, we do, basically it works out like once every 30 days or so. Like we take all the working days in the calendar and just kind of cycle everybody through. So like I would be with somebody on a Monday, and then somebody would get a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and we just kind of run that list until all 43 people have gone through it, and then we cycle back. So it works out to like once a month, once every 2 months or something like that. Jeff, what's the frequency with your team? Like how often does your CEOs and other team members get into support?
So I would be really interested to hear from Chase how they manage whatever, 500 people or however many people sort of rotating them through, or if they have like a full-time person doing it. But for us, we have Mercer, who pretty much manages, I mean, she does lots of other stuff, but this is one of the things that she does is manage the sign-up and the sort of onboarding that has to happen in order for you to go into the inbox, right? And so for that reason, we do, I think, like, two or maybe in some cases three people on all hands support in a week, which means, you know, it probably takes about 3 months for it to come back around. And then we have another sign up where you can, you know, you get to kind of pick your date or else it gets assigned to you and then it goes through again.
I love that. You get to pick it or it's assigned to you. Like you're not getting out of it. It's just going
to, you definitely are not going to get out of it. It's pretty much become a part of the culture at this point. So it's been through a bunch of iterations, but yeah, you're not getting out of it.
Yeah. So Chase, to Jeff's question, how is that handled? Is that like a master calendar somewhere? Somebody heading it up to make sure it's scheduled?
Yeah, we have. So the nice thing is that you rotate through with your team. So obviously, everybody at Automatic is on a specific team or squad, and then there is a calendar, and we have a couple of our happiness engineers who kind of volunteer to take that project on as their kind of like a side thing or their 80, we do like 20% time where we can work on something to better ourselves or any other project we want to throughout the week. And so they kind of take that project on and schedule the rotations. We give everybody who's rotating through support for that week or 2 weeks, we give them a happiness engineer buddy. So if they have questions, they know, you know, who to go to directly to ask questions and that kind of thing. So they handle all that scheduling and all that. And then they also post a recap when it's over about how it went and any observations that the people that rotated through might have that could help us improve support or improve the experience for other teams who come through later in the year.
Yeah, and you point out something there that I think is really critical, having that happiness buddy alongside them, having the support buddy there to kind of help them with any questions. Have you been somebody's buddy before? Like how did that work out?
Yeah, it's usually a pretty simple thing. For the most part, everybody that's rotating through should have already had support experience because they would have gotten it either in their trial or right after they were hired, you know, their first 3 to 4 weeks. So for the most part, it's not, you know, like super simple questions like how do I reply to an email or something like that. But, you know, for any questions that they may be unclear on, like is it okay to process this refund or, you know, how do I do such and such X, Y, Z, that's kind of what we're there for. And so, yeah, I've definitely buddied a couple of rotations, and it's usually nice. It's more honestly a way to get to know other people in the company because you usually try to chat with them, you know, a couple of times throughout the week just to check in and see how they're doing and how things are going for them. And then, you know, when they're actually in the inbox or working live chat. If they have some specific questions, we're always, we try to be online when they are so that we can be there to answer those questions for them.
Jeff, is it same with you? Do you get a Wistia buddy? Or no, wait, customer champion, that's what they're called, with Wistia. Do you get a champion buddy? Which sounds great, you know, like your buddy is a champion. That's like straight out of some like Scandal gladiator, like I'm a gladiator. Never mind, sorry. I've been watching Scandal recently, so it just floated
just,
in.
Just, yeah, you've been watching Scandal. Let's just leave it at that.
Hey, Scandal is a fantastic show if you're not watching it.
So we use we have a HIP chat room for support, and if you are the all hand support person of the day, you are in that room, you know, and I mean any day anybody can jump in there and say like, hey, I have a quick question, like what do you think about this or what's going on with this or whatever. But if you're the person on all hand support, it makes it really easy to hop in and say, you know. That's a first. Hop in and say like, hey, I'm trying to answer this ticket. Maybe you paste the link, you know, the Help Scout link in, and then you say like, any recommendations? Like, here's what I'm thinking about. That makes it a little bit easier for them to, like Chase said, like, I don't think that anybody needs a guide on how to write an email, especially with Help Scout, super straightforward. We don't have anything like too intense going on in there. Some people do have questions like, how do you guys normally handle something like this, right? Especially like technical requests where it's like, we just can do it or we cannot do it. It's like, how do we normally handle that? And for those, you probably, at this point, the model would probably still be you pick up your laptop and go over to Mercer's desk and say like, hey Mercer, like, how would you normally handle this? So you don't necessarily get a buddy. I think that at this point the whole team is trying to pitch in on that, but she's definitely the leader there. So I guess she's your buddy more than most.
She sounds like she needs a raise the next time you see her. So
couldn't
she's
agree
doing more. A lot.
Yep, totally agree.
You know, one of the last questions I kind of want to round everything out with. We talked about a little bit about it at the beginning of the show. Look, guys, like my words today, I don't know, like words just escape me. I don't know if it's just Monday or if it's like I'm getting over this weird sickness thing. I don't know. But let's try it again. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show where other people were doing support, teams were rotating through, that kind of thing. How critical is it for other people in the company besides the CEO to be doing that support? You know, we talked about, you know, online companies like ours, it's good when you're designing new features or that kind of thing to have a customer's ear kind of nagging you in the, a customer's voice nagging you in the ear. I'm telling you, words today. Gah. But when it comes to GM, you know, when it comes to McDonald's, is if a CEO is thinking about a new hamburger to put out, or a product manager is thinking about a new hamburger to put out, is it good for them to have had that support experience? We'll start with Jeff on this one.
So to me, it's not necessarily the support. Well, sometimes it is the support experience, right? But when it comes down to it, I think what it really is that and this happens to me all the time too, is that like we can get so far away from the support and the customer, right? We can go into meetings and talk about things, and then we go into other meetings and we talk about things, and then we go and work on things, and we interact with the customer so little, or it's so easy to interact with the customer so little sometimes, that you end up getting way far away from what sort of got you there in the first place, and remembering that they're not just a group of people who will buy whatever you sell. Like, you have to, you know, bring everything back to the value that they're, you know, the value and the benefits that they're trying to get out of whatever you're selling. And it can become, you know, I think that that's how so many big companies end up with these weird and wacky rules about what support people can and cannot do. It's not because they're terrible people. It's because over time it was like, well, you know, we really got to cut back on refunds. You know, how do we cut back on refunds? Well, we can do it by preventing anyone from giving a refund over $25, and then any refunds over $25 have to go through a manager, so then we'll know what all the big issues are. But then the manager ends up being overworked, and it's just like, you know what? I'm never going to approve any refunds over $25. And you end up in this weird, terrible world that no one gets refunds. You end up with a Comcast or something where the support person's like, well, my hands are tied. So I think it's really important to do it every once in a while because it reminds you that in all these meetings and in all the conversations and the talks at conferences that you're giving and all of these things that the end result is an experience, a product experience for a customer. So I would argue that, yes, it's incredibly important for everybody to do it. Like I said earlier, I think that there are more efficient ways that you can go about doing it. One example being, just to go off on a bit of a tangent, but I feel like I have time to do it.
Go for it. Go down that rabbit trail.
Is to find ways to relate it back to that person's work as much as possible. So, for example, what's most effective for a marketer, besides just sort of experiencing the support process, is also to have to answer those questions that are like, hey, I'm not really sure I understand the pricing. Or, hey, like, based on the messaging on your website, I thought you did X, and now I can't get it to work. And it actually seems like you might do Y, so what's going on with that? It's most effective for them to be faced with the questions that directly relate to their day-to-day work. So, like, for designers, I think it would be great to do more user research, maybe like some more usability sessions, and then make them sit through the session. And they're like, there is a big button right there that says upload. Why can't you click on it? Right? And they're watching this video and they're squirming in their seat. And you, as the support person, is saying, this is every day of my life. Every day I'm trying to guide people through this, and I'm trying to tell you that people are having trouble with this, but the only way to get it through to you is to show this to you, make it real for them. Which I guess is why CEOs are such an interesting case, because they don't necessarily always have like work that they can point to or that can draw them in. But I think what's important to know is that like those are your lifeblood. And the closer relationship you have, the better understanding you have about the benefits and what they actually think about your product, I think the better off you're going to be. And one thing that I know Chris experiences, Chris is my CEO, all the time, is when he goes to a conference and he gives a talk, everybody who comes up to him afterwards is just like, oh, I love the product, love the product, love what you guys are doing, you guys are so great. And it's, you know, I think it's easy to get kind of swept up in them sort of like kissing your ass a little bit. And what's really funny is when he's not wearing the CEO hat and he's in support and someone says to him like, hey, by the way, this feature, it's not doing what I want it to do. It's not providing me the benefits I thought it would. And he's like, whoa, that's totally different feedback than anyone would tell me to my face because I'm, you know, the CEO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those, especially if you're an online company like all three of us are, after your design team, your product team gets finished and ships a specific feature, it's really great to have them cycle through support right afterwards. That way they get to see firsthand exactly what everyone thinks about the way that they've designed the certain thing. And they can go through and make tweaks and changes based on that too. You know, we were talking last week about how one of our customers wrote into Basecamp and was like, hey, you know, these relative time dates are great, but I need like a very specific time date on all the comments. You know, I don't need to know that it was yesterday at 8:20. I need to know it was Sunday, April 20th at 8:20 because my mind just works that way. And one of the designers we had picked it up and knew that, you know, they weren't going to be able to completely change it, but we were able to add a tooltip in there to give them that kind of exact date and time. And the designer wouldn't have seen it if they hadn't been working support that day. So it's great for, you know, those fringe benefits that you get when other people besides the CEO works in support too. You know, if you get a programmer who gets in there and sees the same bug in four different emails, he's going to fix it before the day's out. You know, if the designer is in there and sees something that could be cleared up with a little tweak to wording or messaging or something like that, she's going to fix it before the day's out. There's no, like, let's think about it, let's put it on the to-do list and do it 6 months down the road. It just gets done that day. Chase Livingston, what do you think? Is it advantageous for not only Matt as your CEO, but everyone else to go through that support too?
Yeah, I would definitely echo what Jeff said. That I think it's a big help to have, you know, what some people might call the product teams stay in touch with the customer more than they might if you know, rotating through support wasn't a kind of a mandated thing. I feel like it'd be very easy for them to get isolated, like Jeff said, and not have any interaction with the customer at all. So having that support experience, you know, every so often allows them to see, you know, just what the customer thinks of what they're working on and how the customers are using it, and maybe they're using it in a way that they didn't intend, but might be, you know, even better. So it's just a good experience, I think, for those developers and designers to get, you know, as often as they can.
All right, that's all the questions I got. Gents, you want to throw in anything else before we move on?
There was something about the it's CEOs on support. There was something about this. Well, what is it? CEO on support?
Yeah, CEO on support.com.
I was spelling it wrong. There was something about this, the messaging on this site, that I wanted to talk about for 1 second. Oh, this was it. There's a section on this page called Why CEOs Should Support Customers. And there are a bunch of these that I think are dead on. One is while you're dreaming up an integration with Google Glass, your customers are screaming about other crucial problems. That speaks to pretty much exactly what I was sort of thinking a minute ago. So I think it's excellent. One thing that I would sort of want to push on, because I think it's like a common refrain, especially on this show, is this other point that I'm assuming it's, what's his name? Girish. He says a support rep can only go so far. Support agents often don't have the visibility in an organization to go back and fix bigger process problems. Only you can. And I guess one thing that sort of makes me feel, or sort of makes me think about, is while it's important to have the CEO on support, because that is true, right, that sometimes only the CEO can fix it, the CEO who then experiences that should find a way to push the power down to the support agent. Or at least give the support people the floor or a seat at the table to ring the bell and say, like, hey, this is a major problem. I don't think a CEO should go into support and just start, you know, sort of wielding their CEO hammer left and right, where it's like, oh, you're unhappy? Guess what? I can refund all the money that you ever gave us. And the customer's like, I don't want a refund. I don't care about a refund. I want you to fix the problem. So I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking there, but I know what I would like to have more people do as CEOs on support is say, I can't believe that you guys like have been, you know, ramming your head up against this brick wall and against this problem for months. What we need to do is have a, you know, weekly, you know, meeting or something where you have the floor and you bring up the major issues and we get to an action item on one of the issues every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. I would just urge people who discover process problems in all hands support to solve them, but then also solve them forever.
Yeah, don't just solve that one particular problem that you see. It's the bigger, like, why did that problem not get pushed up to people that could fix it quicker?
Exactly.
I was working with a financial services website the other day. I won't say which one, but as I was signing up, they needed my birth date, which is really simple, right? You put in your birth date. It's month, date, year, done. And I put in my birth date and even formatted it the way that it wanted in the little like hint to the right side of the form. Like, you couldn't use the hyphens. You had to use the like forward slashes. I was like, fine, that's cool. I'll put it in like that. So I match it exactly the way that it shows me in the little help guide off to the right, and it keeps throwing back error after error after error after error. And I thought, well, maybe like something's wrong with my browser, right? Because it looks like what they want me to have it look like. So I cleared out my browser, you know, which is a hassle anyways, because now you have to log into like every website you ever logged in. That didn't work. I went over to another browser. That didn't work. I went over to my wife's computer. That didn't work. So, like, I was frustrated at this point because I'd spent 30 minutes on what I thought was I made my birth date look exactly like you wanted in the format that you showed me. So I called up their customer service team, and she was like, yeah, you don't actually have to put the forward slashes in there. It automatically does it for you. And if you do put the forward dashes in there, you don't get anything but an error message. Like, you don't get a helpful error message. It just says error. And I sat there and I was like, wow, that seems really busted. And she said, yeah, she gets at least 10 calls every day about it. And even though she had told her supervisor about it and other people on her team had told her supervisor about it, the supervisor said, look, it's never going to get fixed, so just quit bringing it up. Which is insane, right? Like, there's a huge process failure when that happens.
Really sad.
So, yeah, you know, like Jeff mentioned, when you see there's a problem with that communication flowing up, when you see that your support pros aren't being empowered to fix things, especially like some stupid little thing where you automatically autofill an auto forward slash and not tell me that you're doing that. Like, I still don't understand that. It just fix your process problems. That's what we'll say to end it out. So with that, make sure to check out the site that Jeff mentioned, ceoonsupport.com. Go ahead and, you know, if you're working for a company whose CEO and other people on the team don't do support regularly, don't do all-hands support, everyone on support, if they don't do anything like that, send them over to that site. There's some good points made there. And you know, really encourage the rest of your team to do that, because I think there's a lot to be gained, and these gents do too. You know, there's just so much value in everyone doing support that I don't think you're going to – there's no reason not to. At the end of the day, there's just no reason not to.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add on that one, Chase, is that we had to go through several iterations of that as we grew to get to a place where it kind of stuck with the current culture. Because I think the original sort of the smallish group that we had, maybe like 6 to 12 people, everybody was doing support sometimes. But then as you start hiring and you get people who are very specialized, and you're also trying to sort of grow and ramp up, and people are, you know, their first day, they're just like inundated with, you know, welcome to the marketing team. We really, really need you. We're so glad you're here. Let's get started. Then it becomes easy to get sort of separated from support. And I think that what ended up making it stick for us was finding a really good time frame to do it. So, like, we finally settled on you come in sort of early in the morning, like earlier than probably you're used to, and you spend a little bit of extra time getting ramped up. And then you just spend those, like, 3 or 4 hours in the morning doing support. It's not a full day. So we got to the morning thing, and then there was also, like Chase said, this idea of one person has to be sort of a point person that you go to for scheduling and for checking in and that kind of thing. And then we also have done some things internally about identifying which questions are the right questions to tackle. Not that people aren't ready, but that sometimes people are like, oh, so, you know, support people answer every single question, so I guess I'll just, you know, tackle this one. And it's like, well, actually, support people might be better at identifying what things need a developer, you know, they need developer's help, or they just need, like, a whole project in order to accomplish, and so they just say no, like, sorry, we can't do that. And people who are brand new to support might be uncomfortable. So I definitely, what I don't want to communicate is that it was really easy to set up and that we just sort of fell into it, and that it's like, you know, our company is different than everyone else and that we do it. It was a battle, and we certainly had to discuss the value and how we would get it working, but I think that it is in the end valuable for everybody at every level.
It is, and you'll find the niche that your company needs to do that all hands support, and from there it's just building the routines, right? Like having that point person to go to for scheduling, having a master calendar up so you know when is a good day to do your day and or have a day assigned, that kind of thing. So yeah, highly recommend it. That's it for this section.
Oh right, next section.
one day. It's this week's shout out.
I'm just so distracted by the fact that there are Fresh Desk people who are actually watching the show, and I have such a, like, a feeling of, I hope that we did them justice. I'm starstruck by the fact that That's going on. I was distracted. I'm sorry, Chase.
No, you're fine. You're fine. That's the same way. Maybe that's why all my words aren't flowing out right. Maybe it's because like there are other people now besides the normal people that watch us, and we're like, wow, this is too much pressure.
Chase.
All right, so let's.
Moonshine.
It's the moonshine. Oh, Chase Livingston, what do you got for us this week?
So I've been using Dropbox to manage photos and stuff for a while, and they just came out with a new app recently called Carousel, which is really nice to manage photo. It like handles the photo uploads and also gives you a really nice way to view all your photos that you have stored in Dropbox. So if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. It's called Carousel, and it kind of is rounding out their suite of apps that they seem like they're trying to build. So. But it's really fun way to look through your photos and everything. And it organizes them into moments and stuff, similar to like the Photos app on your iPhone or whatever you're using already. So check it out.
Dropbox, not only company, but one of the other companies that's buying up companies as fast as Automattic is. Both of you just snatching them up as soon as you can. Jeff Ensign, what are you shouting out this week?
I just recently, so I finished the Amazon book, and now I'm reading the Ben Horowitz book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. I hope I nailed that title. I am giving it a shout out because you can tell that he wrote it, and I applaud people who you read their stuff and you're like, yep, that wasn't a ghostwriter. That was actually them. That was actually them writing all of this stuff down and sort of putting their thoughts on paper. And I think that there's a lot of value in that because there's no filter whatsoever. He's completely honest in there. I've learned quite a bit. And I think that it's a pretty good book. I'm not through it all the way yet, but I would recommend people checking it out only because I think more people sharing their experience in this way would be really valuable.
The second to last chapter, he pushes somebody in a mud hole.
Oh God! Spoiler, Chase.
Yeah.
No, I mean that. I guess that happened later in the book than the Bezos book. So
it does.
Yeah. At least he's. I guess he's nicer.
Nope.
Not really.
Nope. Just straight up shoved. Just like malicious intent and all. If I said it was like a little old grandmother, would that make it even worse?
Nope, that would just make it more true. I guess I'm done reading that book. Thanks, Chase.
Just put it down. Put it down and grab one of what is my shout-out this week. You've got to realize, like, and I think both of you know this, I am definitely a whiskey man, a bourbon man. I don't drink a lot of beer. But when I was at the movie theater this past weekend to finally see Captain America, which is a shout-out in and of itself, go see it if you haven't. The theater is fantastic because it's one of those where you can have like fancy drinks and food while you're watching the movie. So I had this Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, which is a beer, but it's aged for 6 weeks inside of bourbon barrels that had been used to make Kentucky bourbon. So it's a really great beer, one of those that I really enjoyed, even though I'm a bourbon whiskey kind of guy. So definitely check it out, Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. Peace out.
Wait, they serve that at a movie theater?
Yeah. Do you not have like fancy movie theaters up there? Oh, come on. If we have them, right? Yeah, it's like you pay a little bit more. It was like $20 for Heather and I to go see, as far as like the cost of the tickets. But yeah, you go upstairs, so you're not like down below with all those plebeians watching TV. So you're upstairs, and you've got these big like nice reclining leather. Like, you know, nice movie theater chairs, no sticky gum or anything underneath you. You can order drinks or like finger foods, like appetizers. Like we had some nachos during the movie too. Yeah, like those are the best. That's the way to see a movie.
I feel like that, I mean, this is a whole show in and of itself, but that is definitely where movies are going to have to go, right? I mean, at some point, Netflix is going to be able to buy Captain America before it comes out, release it at home. And the only reason why I'm going to go to a theater is because I want someone to also serve me drinks and food while I watch.
No, Amazon's going to have that covered. Their drones are going to deliver you popcorn and a drink.
Also in for that, too.
Yeah, package deal. You'll be good. It'll be awesome. The future is here.
I love it. I love everything about it.
Oh, so that's it for us. Check us out online, supportops.co/hangouts. We'll get you all of the previous episodes. This one will be up as soon as I can have it up, Tuesday, Wednesday, hopefully. We'll have all the show notes along with the shout-out links and everything else all wrapped up neat and tidy inside like a perfect Christmas package. Easter package? I guess Easter package, since that's recently. That's it. Thanks again, Chase Levinson, Jeff Vincent. Those gents are amazing. Hopefully next week, Carolyn will be back. That's the plan. So we'll actually have some more structure to our shows, finally, to keep us on track. For everybody else, I'm Chase. Have an awesome week.